Dr. Tom Inglesby is director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. He is an advisor to NIH, the Pentagon, and Homeland Security. Like many other Event 201 participants, Inglesby migrated immediately into real-life management of the crisis. 3 months later, he would move over to HHS as senior advisor of the COVID-19 response. Inglesby agrees that greater centralized control is needed. When asked, "You mean centralized international?" Matthew Harrington, Edelman, replies that information access should be centralized on an international basis because I think there needs to be a central repository of data, facts, and key messages. Hasti Tagi, media advisor, sums up, "The anti-vaccine movement was very strong, and this is something specifically through social media that has spread. So as we do the research to come up with the right vaccines to help prevent the continuation of this, how do we get the right information out there? How do we communicate the right information to ensure that the public has trust in these vaccines that we're creating?" Kevin McAleese, a communications officer for Gates-funded agricultural projects, observes that, "To me, it is clear countries need to make strong efforts to manage both mis- and disinformation. We know social media companies are working around the clock to combat these disinflation campaigns. The task of identifying every bad actor is immense. This is a huge problem that's going to keep us from ending the pandemic and might even lead to the fall of governments, as we saw in the Arab Spring. If the solution means controlling and reducing access to information, I think it's the right choice." Dr. Tom Inglesby, Johns Hopkins, concurs, asking if, "In this case, do you think governments are at the point where they need to require social media companies to operate in a certain way?" Lavin Tharoor, Singapore's finance minister, suggests that the government might make examples by arresting dissidents with governments on enforcement actions against fake news. "Some of us, this new regulations are come in place about how we deal with fake news. Maybe this is a time for us to showcase some cases where we are able to bring forward some bad actors and leave it before the courts to decide whether they have actually spread some fake news." Sophia Borges, head of the New York office of the UN, spoke of putting out positive stories about people who'd beaten the disease and having a centralized source of information and a world body that could garner the respect of everyone. "I think the WHO in this instance might be that source of information." Adrian Thomas added, "It's important to think about what atypical players in the private sector can we bring to bear in this. Bringing multinational pharmaceutical companies to talk about why their products are safe could be seen as non-credible." Gates's Event 201 Global Pandemic War Game quickly demonstrated that it was reaching and indoctrinating its intended audiences, the globe's top-level decision-makers. A week after Event 201, presidential aspirant Joe Biden read a Washington Post article about the follow-up to the Event 201 report, co-authored by the Hopkins Center for Health Security. According to a newly invented Global Health Security Index assessing 195 countries, no country, the United States included, is fully prepared to respond to a deliberate or accidental threat with the potential to wipe out humanity. Biden tweeted a response on October 25, 2019. "We are not prepared for a pandemic. We need leadership that focuses on real threats and mobilizes the world to stop outbreaks before they reach our shores." At the end of November 2019, Rob Butler, the head of WHO Europe's Vaccine Preventable Diseases and Immunization Program from 2014 to 2018, told the European Scientific Conference on Applied Infectious Disease Epidemiology that vaccine hesitancy must be tackled and immunization is a best buy. The triumph of the military intelligence complex, intelligence agencies, and COVID-19. In November 2020, the British spy agency MI6 announced that its spooks would be surveilling foreigners all over the world, presumably including Americans who questioned official orthodoxies about COVID-19 vaccines. Declaring the launch of an offensive cyber operation to disrupt anti-vaccine propaganda, the foreign branch hinted that it would henceforth target individuals who asked awkward or impudent questions about vaccines or questioned official COVID proclamations or countermeasures. The agency promised to deploy the same arsenal of monitoring and harassment weaponry and dirty tricks that it formerly reserved for terrorists. According to The Times, the spy agency is using a toolkit developed to tackle disinformation and recruitment peddled by Islamic State. A government source assured the paper they weren't kidding around. GCHQ has been told to take out anti-vacciners online and on social media. There are ways they have used to monitor and disrupt terrorist propaganda. Federal law forbids U.S. spy agencies from spying on or surveilling U.S. citizens, but the Western intelligence bureaucracies work in collaboration with one another, and the CIA often deploys European, Israeli, and Canadian agencies as surrogates to skirt U.S. laws. In August 2020, after I appeared as a keynote speaker before an estimated crowd of 1.2 million democracy and civil rights advocates from every European nation protesting COVID restrictions at a peace and justice rally in Berlin, Germany's domestic intelligence agency announced that it would begin monitoring the top leaders of the group that invited me. The spy agency accused COVID protesters of trying to permanently undermine trust in state institutions and their representatives, according to the news agency AFP. Now the definition of terror is so broad, says former CIA official Kevin Shipp, that any mention of COVID vaccines comes under their purview. These were the first explicit acknowledgments of the pervasive involvement by Western intelligence agencies in the vaccine enterprise that the global press has long overlooked. As two decades of germ game simulations foreshadowed, U.S. and foreign clandestine agencies have a secretive but dominating presence in the COVID-19 pandemic response. Intelligence community alumni and active officers occupy key positions in the international agencies that promote global vaccinations. For example, President Biden's director of USAID is former WHO ambassador Samantha Power. Power is an imperialist war hawk who, as President Obama's national security advisor, persuaded him to intervene militarily in Libya. She has declared that her primary goal at USAID is to restore U.S. prestige by getting American-made vaccines into arms around the world. UNICEF's director, Anthony Lake, was President Bill Clinton's national security advisor and his nominee to be CIA director until corruption charges derailed his appointment. In January 2020, UNICEF telegraphed its brave new embrace of authoritarianism by cheerleading the Maldives legislature's passage of a bill making it a criminal offense for parents to decline any government-recommended vaccine for their children. UNICEF's unsheathed enthusiasm makes clear that the organization regards the Maldives' innovation as a pilot program for humanity. GlaxoSmithKline's spinoff, the Wellcome Trust, has played a central role in the marriage of Big Pharma to the Western spy agencies. From 2015 until October 2020, the chair of Wellcome Trust, the UK version of the Gates Foundation, was the former Director General of MI5, Dame Eliza Manningham Buller, a 35-year counter-espionage veteran who also functioned as official liaison between British and U.S. intelligence agencies. Anthony Fauci's emails reveal that Wellcome Trust Director Sir Jeremy Ferrer worked directly with Dr. Fauci to orchestrate the cover-up of the Wuhan lab leak evidence, assigning a staff of 5 Wellcome Trust operatives to manage the fraud. Dame Manningham Buller has served as chair of the Imperial College London since 2011. Anthony Fauci and Western health officials widely cited the Imperial College's inaccurate COVID-19 fatality projections, ginned up by the Wellcome Trust's notorious epidemiologist Neil Ferguson, to justify the draconian global lockdowns. Ferguson's guileful projections overestimated fatality rates by more than an order of magnitude. He did the same with mad cow disease and other diseases du jour. MI6 spy Christopher Steele is a leader of the British organization Independent Sage, a sketchy yet highly influential collective of social scientists, psychologists, and professional propagandists who use the news media to relentlessly pressure the UK government any time it hesitates to deploy the flinty authoritarianism needed to achieve zero COVID. Steele is only one of many former intelligence officers who cheerlead draconian responses to COVID and applaud the onset of totalitarianism. One of the early promoters of the marginalization, demonization, and officially sanctioned abuse of vaccine-hesitant parents is Juliette Kayyem, the former Assistant Secretary for Homeland Security under President Obama and former member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the National Committee on Terrorism. Kayyem was forced out of her high-level job at the Washington Post when critics leaked her involvement with the Israeli spyware company that makes the software system used to track and murder Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. As early as April 2019, she was editorializing for the Washington Post that parents who declined measles vaccines for their children should face isolation, fines, arrests, and be treated to the same sanctions that government uses against terrorists and sex offenders. As early as 1977, Watergate journalist Carl Bernstein documented the CIA's control over 400 leading American journalists and institutions, including the New York Times and Time magazine. The CIA's long and pervasive domination of the Washington Post via Project Mockingbird, beginning with its owners Catherine and Phil Graham and leading editors and reporters, is well documented. There is little evidence that its new owner, Jeff Bezos, has pruned away these corrupting influences. The Post and The Times have been the leading media cheerleaders for draconian pandemic response. On September 5th, Max Blumenthal, son of frequent Washington Post contributor Sidney Blumenthal, exposed The Post for publishing a phony doctor on the street interview, in which a supposedly typical D.C. physician called for extrajudicial murder of the vaccine-hesitant parents through medical neglect. Blumenthal pointed out that the physician was actually the vice president of technical staff at InQtel. The CIA and other intelligence agencies aggressively recruit scientists like Jeremy Ferrer, whose research involves postings in foreign countries. Additionally, it uses vaccination drives as a cover for broader strategic actions. Between 2011 and 2014, for example, the CIA used the WHO's Global Eradication Program to conduct fake polio and hepatitis B vaccine programs in Pakistan as a way to surreptitiously collect DNA from individuals in its efforts to track down Osama bin Laden. These are only a few of the myriad examples of the closely kept involvements by spy agencies in treating vaccination as a foreign policy tool and as an instrument of fear, suppression, and control, independent of any genuine health concerns. In July 2021, 1 year and 4 months into the misery of the global lockdown, the FAA had to divert air traffic over a section of the country stretching from the West Coast to Michigan to make room for the fleets of private jets converging on Sun Valley, Idaho, for the 38th annual meeting of the world's most exclusive conclave, sometimes called the Summer Camp for Billionaires or Mogul Fest. The 2021 meeting included Bill Gates, Apple CEO Tim Cook, Mark Zuckerberg, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, Mike Bloomberg, Google founders Larry Price and Sergey Brin, Warren Buffett, Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, Disney chair Robert Iger, Viacom CBS chair Sherry Redstone, and one of the lockdown's most influential propagandists, Anderson Cooper, who has acknowledged that he responded to a CIA recruitment poster while attending Yale and worked an indeterminate number of summers thereafter in Langley. All the discussions at the event were, as usual, closely guarded, but participants acknowledged conversing about cryptocurrencies and artificial intelligence. This year, the Robber Barons hosted, as their guest of honor, CIA Director William Joseph Burns, and by all reports, the mood among the Titans was bullish. By that time, U.S. billionaires were well on their way to increasing their collective wealth by $3.8 trillion in a single year, while obliterating the American middle class, which permanently lost about the same amount. These tech and media magnates, who had magnified their billions from the lockdown, were the same men who had used their media and social media platforms to censor complaints about the lockdown, even as it filled their coffers past the bursting point. Each of these fat cats had helped grease the skids for the calamitous collapse of America's exemplary constitutional democracy. The Bill of Rights was by then indefinitely suspended. The participants of that event had privatized the public square and then obstructed the free flow of information and open debate, the oxygen and sunlight of democracy. Their censorship allowed their allies in the technocracy to effect the most extraordinary curtailment of American constitutional rights in history, closing churches across the country, shuttering a million businesses without due process or just compensation, suspending jury trials for corporate malefactors, passing regulations without constitutionally guaranteed transparency, public hearings, or comment, violating privacy through warrantless searches and track and trace surveillance, and abolishing the rights of assembly and association. After 20 years of modeling exercises, the CIA, working with medical technocrats like Anthony Fauci and billionaire internet tycoons, had pulled off the ultimate coup d'etat. Some 250 years after America's historic revolt against entrenched oligarchy and authoritarian rule, the American experiment with self-government was over. The oligarchy was restored, and these gentlemen and their spy masters had equipped the rising technocracy with new tools of control unimaginable to King George or to any other tyrant in history. COVID-19, a military project. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals so that security and liberty may prosper together. Dwight Eisenhower, 1961. With all the preparations for a coordinated military response, with deep involvement from intelligence agencies, it should come as no surprise that the government's COVID-19 response quickly emerged as a military project. On September 28, 2020, science journalist Nicholas Florko published in STAT a leaked organizational schematic exposing the $10 billion Operation Warp Speed project as a highly structured Defense Department campaign with vast military involvement. The Byzantine flowchart shows four generals and 60 other military officials commanding Operation Warp Speed, badly outnumbering civilian health technocrats from HHS, who represented a mere 29 of the roughly 90 leaders on the chart. HHS's Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy, Paul Mengo, told STAT that the Department of Defense was deeply enmeshed in every aspect of the project, including creating more than 24 vaccine pop-up manufacturing plants, airlifting in equipment and raw materials from across the globe, and erecting cybersecurity and physical security operations to ensure an eventual vaccine is guarded very closely from state actors who don't want us to be successful in this. This paranoid addendum seems like a pretextual effort to link vaccine-hesitant Americans to sinister foreign governments, thereby justifying a military and intelligence agency response. It is, in short, a conspiracy theory, albeit an official one. Mengo told STAT that warp speed planning and debriefing occurs in protected rooms used to discuss classified information.